introduce to you Brother Paul Provost. Then I'll pray, and you can come up while I'm praying. You can come up now. Just sit over here. That way I can embarrass you in front of everybody. Your daughter married my son. That's embarrassment enough. We warned her, just so you know, and you can ask her that. But the amazing thing in my life has been, Brother Provost is one of those people. For 25-ish years, we prayed, 24-ish years, for God to have our son marry the right person, and he found the right one. Matter of fact, you married up big time, and it's amazing. When Brother Provost and Cindy and my wife and I met, it's like we knew each other for our whole lives. And you say, why is that? Well, we prayed for 24, 25 years, and we finally found who it was we were praying for. And they did the same thing with Ruthanne, and it's just a neat bond that God puts together. But Brother Provost and I are close not because of our children. We're close because of that book right there. We follow the same principles. We follow the same God the same way. And he's a dear friend of mine. We don't get to see each other, but just about every day we'll text back and forth, and I love this man. I feel closer to him at times than many would feel to their own brother. Though we don't get to see each other very often, we have a very common bond in the Holy Spirit and the Lord and everything. And here's a very wise man, and I don't know a higher form of praise than this. I'm glad he was a mentor to my son. Much of what that young man is to our church is because of that man right there. And he's not that old. But I'll be nice to you till you're done. But but I mean that. I don't think there's been a week since I've been here to where Brother Josh hasn't said something to me about, well, Brother Provost this, Brother Provost that. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. He's been a mentor and a hero to my son, and I love that beyond words. And much of what he is because of that man right there. And I thank God for that. Brother Provost, come preach to us tonight.
Thank you. Hello. Okay, I'm done speaking, okay? Oh, I tell you what, I enjoy being here, man. And Brother Bush is a great man, a friend of mine, and I got to come here a few years ago, and how many were here when I was here before? I remember a few of you, and I'm glad I'm back. We left Miami. It was winter down there. I mean, I think it dropped down to 50, okay? And it actually was winter. It did get down to 50 just before we left. And we traveled up to Ohio, Menford, Ohio, just above Huntington, West Virginia. And saw my other daughter and her husband. Spent a week up there in frigid weather. I mean, it got down in the teens, and it was just because of the circumstances. Josh and Ruth Ann and the Bushes celebrated Christmas here, the last snowstorm y'all had, right? And that was their Christmas time because all the family came together. And when we were up in Menford, my other daughter and my wife had prayed for a white Christmas. So we had a white Christmas up there, and that's why we got the other snowstorm, okay? And so it was enjoyable. And then came down here. It's been quite frigid, to be honest with you. It's just, the wind is tough. But I've enjoyed the time. We were supposed to leave Menford and go to North Carolina and visit a family from our church that moved there. And circumstances didn't allow that. So we said, we're going to come here and spend a few days here. And I told Brother Bush, I've looked forward to seeing him for a while. And I thank God for it. And I love him. I'm glad God got me here. And, I'd tell you a story about Josh, but man, there's so many. He told me to speak, not to ramble. But I'll never forget this one.
I got a list.
We're doing some remodeling work, okay? And so down in Florida, when we remodel, you just got to deal with whatever comes at you. And we got termites down here. We have subterranean termites in Florida, which are, it doesn't matter what you put down, they come through it. Concrete, whatever, they come through it. But this instance, we had dry wood, and I don't know where they came from, but they got up there. So we said, we need to treat before we close it up. So we tore down all the ceiling except for the rafters, and we were going to put new insulation, new drywall up there and everything. I said, but you need to treat this first. So we bought a can of termite treatment, and you mix it in a jug. I said, and he sprayed it, man. He did a great job spraying, covered it real good. But every time we went up there to work, we kept on breaking out in a rash. I said, man, how much did you... I said, what was the ratio you mixed? He says, I put the whole thing in there. So he put a 18-ounce can into a 2-gallon thing where you're supposed to put a cap full in 2 gallons, you know? So I'm surprised he's still alive, but I will tell you, I guarantee you one thing, Josh will never get termites, okay? I promise you that right now, okay? He's got enough in him, he'll never get them, all right? Isaiah 64. Now, I feel a little loud because I talk loud, okay? So I don't know if it's just these. It's just those, okay, all right. I talk loud, okay? And if you really like some hot preaching, come down to Miami in August, okay? Because it'll be hot there, okay? All right, I'm telling you right now. But it's hot up here in August too, you know. So I mean, but if you'd like some warm preaching, come on down to Miami now because it'll be 70 when I get back there, okay? All right, and that's almost winter in Miami, okay? 70 is almost winter in Miami. All right. Isaiah 64. I came in tonight. I just felt emotional being here, and it's because you're around family, okay? And I'm not just talking about my daughter, my son-in-law, and the bushes. I really felt like family in here, to be honest with you, okay? And it's great to be here. You know, this is Grace Baptist Church. I'm from Grace Baptist Church. That van you saw out there with Grace Baptist Church sign, that's not yours, okay? And it's got a 305 number, not a 304 on it, so it don't work here, okay? All right, so. And I parked it down the end of the road for Josh because he's going to go out there and give me a couple more pieces of wood before I go home, okay? It feels good to be here, and I'm thankful to be here. In Isaiah 64, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, it says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou this terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flow down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." Amen. Willing to wait and ready for reward. Amen. Willing to wait and ready for reward. The Bible says, O God, beside thee, or I'm sorry, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Waiting is a tough thing. I mean, you know, this year has been just a waiting to see what's going to happen next. You know, I mean, seriously, we've been waiting. Is it going to be over? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get better? Are they going to make another stupid decision? You know, I mean, it's just a waiting time. And it's hard to wait. It really, really is hard to wait. I preached a message one time in chapel, our school chapel, about patience. And so when whoever was doing song leading said, Mr. Pearls will preach today, I just sat there in a chair. I just waited, okay, because it was a mess about patience. And I tell you, within about 10 seconds, there were kids standing up on the other side that couldn't see me, looking around the pulpit to see where I'm at, because they ain't used to waiting. We're all very impatient. But waiting simply means stay where one is until something else happens. Stay where one is until something else happens. And I believe we've all been waiting a lot this year. On March 13th in Florida is when everything changed, okay? That's our date for this year. I don't know when it was up here, but on March 13th, I'm the principal of our Christian school. I got a message from the Florida Department of Education that says we're going to do everything we can to keep school open because we had 1 week at school and then it was going to be spring break. So we're going to do everything we can to keep school open. And that's what they sent me. So I put a letter together, a letter for our parents. And I said, the goal is to keep school open and everything like that. I put one in every kid's hand, sent them home at 3 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, the Department of Education said, we're shutting all schools down for 2 weeks to, you know, for the week and the next week so that we can make sure nothing happens. And we'll come back to school and we never reopened again. I mean, I was waiting to make sure that things worked well, but things changed, didn't they? And we wait on things all the time. It says waiting is stay where one is until something else happens. It's also waiting means a period of anticipation. We've been anticipating this year to be over. But I want you to understand, you know, this year, just because we turn to 2021 does not change anything. It really doesn't. I mean, do you understand that the God that was God on March the 13th is still God today, will still be God on Friday. Okay? It's still the same. And so I don't have to worry about the circumstances around me. I should be waiting on God. Yeah. That's who I'm waiting on. I'm not waiting on our president to make a decision. I'm not waiting on our governor to make a decision. I'm not waiting on the Florida Department of Education to make a decision. I'm waiting on God. That's who I'm waiting on to make something happen. And when I wait on God to make something happen, that means I keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I got caught up in not anticipating, but just... waiting, saying, oh, who knows what's going to happen. I'll just stop for a little while. But then I realized that's not the right thing to do. I was hoping for it to be over. So I was waiting for it to be over and then moving on. And that's not right. Because who knows when it'll be over?
That's right.
You know, I don't remember how long in 1918 was the Spanish flu. Is that when it was? I think it was 2 years that lasted before it really came to an end. Could it be 2 years now in our circumstances? Yes. But you know what? When that's gone, we'll have another circumstance along. It's truth. It says right here, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him.
Right.
I'm not waiting on people.
That's right.
Okay. And in the contest of stay where I am until they make something happen. I'm waiting to see God make something happen.
Amen.
Now, if you look over in Lamentations, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. In Lamentations chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 25, it says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to that soul that seeketh him. So understanding that when I'm waiting, I'm not doing nothing. I'm not stagnant.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says I'm waiting on him and I'm seeking him.
Yes, sir.
My wife and I talk, we've lived in Florida most of our life, okay? I was born down in the Florida Keys. My parents moved to Central Florida. I stayed there till I was a young adult. I went to Bible College of Virginia for 4 years. I went down to Miami and have been in Miami for almost 30 years now. So I've been in Florida most of my life. My wife was born down in Miami. Her family moved around Florida to end up in Central Florida. She went to Bible College in Virginia. That's where we met. I mean, we were from the same church, but we met in Virginia. She finished before I did. We got married. She stuck around 2 more years. She was there 6 years, and we moved to Miami. She's been there ever since. When we talk about seeking God, I'm waiting on him, but I'm seeking him. I'm seeking what he wants. My wife asked me a blunt question. Would you ask God to move us out of Miami? I said, no, I never asked God to do that. I said, I'd ask for me to know what God's will is.
Amen.
See, I don't mind moving out of Miami. I've told people that all the time. I'll be in Miami until God moves me out of there. Now, we love the country up here, I'll be honest with you. It's beautiful, okay? I mean, the cold is not enjoyable. I don't like cold weather. But you know what I did? I put on the gloves, put on my hat, put on my extra jacket, wear 2 pair of pants, 4 pair of socks, you know, whatever it takes, okay? I just dress in layers until I'm happy, you know? And, you know, it's not, I don't like the cold. But it's not about liking the cold. It's about seeking God. See, because you know what? It gets cold in Miami. I'm serious because, you know, no, seriously, because when you're used to 80 degrees weather and it gets down to 60, it's like, you better put a jacket on, okay, all right? Because y'all got 60, you go down to 40, you put a jacket on, don't you? Okay, yeah, same thing. It's not about the circumstances. It's about seeking God. It says the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So while I'm waiting on God, I'm anticipating him to do something. I'm not stagnant. I'm seeking him. When he pointed out these banners, these markers here that indicate people are doing something.
Amen.
You know, they were waiting for an opportunity for God to bless.
Yes, sir.
And they were doing something in the process. And that's what we need to be. We need to be seeking God. I am waiting on him, but in the same context, I'm seeking him. The very next verse, it says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. I'm not just talking about salvation as in a home in heaven. These verses are talking about God giving deliverance, God meeting the need.
Yes, sir.
It's only God that does that.
That's right.
My wife and I planned this trip, and we knew that, you know, it's financial. I mean, we're going to travel about 3,000 miles before we get back home. Okay, it was a long trip. We knew it. Okay, and we planned, and things happen, and finances never work out, do they? Okay, but you know what? God provided. We kept on planning, and we waited, and God provided more than what we needed. I mean, I was amazed, and you know, as the time had gone on, The verse here, when I read these today and was putting together, come over, I was like, man, God, this is for me. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to you, but it's for me. Okay, he says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait.
Yes, sir.
Because if you quietly wait, you can hear that still small voice.
That's right.
But hope says, I know God's gonna do something. It's not about me. It's about God. Because it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I'm so frustrated at times about how so many people get caught up in our society about whether it be a politician, whether it be a person that has money, or whether it be an employer or whatever. They're waiting on them to make a difference. They don't make a difference. God makes a difference.
Right.
God makes the difference. And I quietly, with hope, wait on God to make the difference. If you're willing to wait, God is ready to reward.
Amen.
Now, remember, we've already laid out a couple simple principles about waiting. Waiting is not just twiddle our thumbs saying, okay, God, I'm waiting here. No, we do it with the right attitude or the right action of seeking him, because I want what God has. I want him to give me what he has, because that's what I need. Also, in Lamentations here, it's that I have hope. I'm not going, oh, whatever happens, happens. No, I have a hope. A hope means there's a direction that this is what I would like to happen. There's a hope for it. You know, I told this woman, I said, you know, I hope for a Harley in the driveway, but I know it's not going to happen because I don't need one, okay? I just don't need it, okay? And this young couple in our church, she drives a red Mustang, and I have a Ford Explorer. And I said, you know, today is Ford Friendship Day. You find somebody to Ford, and you switch cars with them. And she goes, yeah. And so that's come up a few times. But you know what? I don't need that, do I? See, that's the hope we have, most people have. Well, I hope I get that. That's not the hope this Bible's talking about.
That's right.
That's not that hope. This hope is, I know God is going to do something. That's hope. That's the right kind of hope. So when I'm waiting on God, it's not like, well, whatever happens, happens. That's not hope. It's anticipation. I'm waiting here until something happens. It's a period of anticipation about what God is going to do. Well, we wait patiently. We wait with hope. We wait quietly because we want to hear that voice. And if you're willing to wait, God is ready to reward. Look over in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. Give you some things how God rewards you when you wait. Okay? Genesis chapter 49. Now this is when Jacob is about to die and he's blessing his 12 sons. And he speaks to Dan in verse 16. I want to just read a couple verses. It says, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Now he's telling Dan how he's going to be. And he just interjects this truth. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Isn't it amazing? He's telling his sons about all that they're going to do and be as men and as families. And right there he says, you know what? Because I wait on God, God provides deliverance. Had God done that for Jacob all his life? Oh, yeah. Man, even though he was a conniver and a trickster and manipulated situation, when he waited on God, God met the need.
Yes, sir.
See, when he rushed ahead and he manipulated his system, he got his daddy's blessing, didn't he?
That's right.
But there was no joy in it. He had to run for his life. You know, when he went to work for his uncle so he could get it, so he could get the wife that he wanted, he got manipulated, but he had to continue working. And even when he manipulated the situation there to get more cattle, you know, he had to run for his life again. He was afraid that his father-in-law would take away all that he had, his children and everything he had. So he ran back home. But as he waited on God, he saw that God delivered him every time.
Yes, sir.
See, in telling his sons about the future, he had to reflect on the past about what God had done for him. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And he gave God the glory that when I wait on God, God always provides the need. And that's important to understand in our Christian life because we're very impatient people. I mean, you know, I am a little bit older than him, okay? Just barely, I think, right? Yeah, just a year or something like that, okay? I've already turned 55. I've joined that elite group of citizens in America. You know that elite group, right? The senior citizens, okay? All right? And but it's so weird. My wife, her birthday came along. She's a couple years younger than me. She kept on getting these things from AARP about final destination type stuff, you know? And I've not got one yet, so I don't know what the deal is there, you know? But, you know, I got off track there. Like, let's get back on track here, okay? As Jacob's reflecting back on life, he's come to the point where he realized God met the need.
Yes, sir.
God has always met the need. And when I reflect back on my life, I can look where I manipulated a situation, where I was trying to meet the need, and it blew up in my face. But when I wait on God, and waiting, just an example of this trip that we took, okay? I knew it'd be a long trip, a lot of miles, a lot of hours, a lot of expense. And I never told my wife, no, we can't afford it. I kept on telling her, yes, we can afford it, but we have to be careful. I said, yes, we can afford it, we have to be careful. And we kept on, you know, checking our finances. And just before we left, God said, here, I did it for you. See, I waited to trust him, but I didn't sit there and do nothing. I didn't say, well, we can't go, we don't have it. No, we can't go, we don't have it. I kept on planning and anticipating that God would meet the need. Because other than that, I couldn't have done it. And along the way, God has met the need over and over and over again. I'm just so thankful for that. Because when I wait for God, he is my salvation. Man. He meets the need, okay? So understand, if you're willing to wait for him, he always meets the need. That same truth is found over in Proverbs chapter 20. This the same principle. It's all throughout the Bible. You don't have to turn there. If you want to start making your way to Psalm 27, that'd be fine. But in Proverbs 20, I just want to read another verse for you there. In Proverbs 20 and verse 22, it says, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. He will meet the need. I don't have to deal with the circumstances around me. God meets the need when I wait on him. You know, Jacob said, hey, wait on God, he provides salvation. You know, you don't have to say, I will recompense evil. I'll deal with this. No, wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. I don't have to manipulate. I don't have to deal with it. I just got to give it to God. Yeah. And I wait on him and he meets the need. Look in there in Psalm 27. In Psalm 27. We'll spend most of the rest of time in Psalm here. In Psalm 27. Let me get over there in the right chapter there. Psalm chapter 27 verse 14 it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. If I'm waiting on God and I'm not being of good courage, that's the right kind of attitude, I'll not get what I need. Yeah, I think God will do it. Who knows if God will do it? That's not the right attitude. Being of good courage says, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't know, but God's got this. I know all of us have gone through different circumstances, and the prayer prayed tonight was so real about making sure our jobs stay there. You know, I mean, I've not had to deal with that. And I know it's God because in our Christian school situation, last year we shut down at the end of the school year And we did online schooling, and we began this school year with online schooling. And by the beginning of February, we got to bring the kids back to school because of Florida laws. And all during that time, God has provided the finances. Our school population not dwindle. You know, people didn't just quit coming. God provided the needs. And I didn't have to fret about a job. But I look at some of the people in our church who you know, they work in industries that shut down. I mean, you know, whether it be the tourism side or whatever. But then I started to ask them, hey, how's it going? Hey, God's blessing. He's meeting the need. Hey, God's blessing. And everybody that was coming to church, nobody said, I can't make it. I can't make it. God met the need. See, I don't have to deal with the circumstances and fretting about it. I can be of good courage because God will meet the need. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say on the Lord. We need strong hearts. We don't need faint hearts. And see, the difference between a strong heart or the opposite of a strong heart is a faint heart. My favorite verse in Proverbs 22:10, I think it is, for Proverbs, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. God gives a strong heart to deal with adversity.
Yes, sir.
And when we wait on him, he meets that need. Remember, when I'm waiting on him, I'm seeking him. I'm getting it from him what I need. You know, I don't know why it comes up almost every time I preach. If you don't read God's word, you can't get anything from him.
That's where you
seek God in his word. Now listen, when I was up in Ohio, my son-in-law up there shot a deer, and he got excited because he just moved up to Ohio. He lived down in Florida for 5 years, and he was excited, hadn't shot a deer in years, and so he got out of stand too quick and ran it away. So we went back there and tracked it with him, and it probably went 2 or 3 miles, crossed the river, and we lost it, okay? And so either it's alive or it's wild animal meat, okay? But I love being out in them woods. It was awesome. Took pictures, just had a blast out there. But you know what? That's not where I found God. That's not where I find God. When we came from Minford, Ohio to here, what's that crazy road, 68? 77? Is that the one? Whatever that one is. I told Josh, I said, Josh, man, it's only 200 miles from Minford to y'all. But you can't go 200 miles going like this. It's 480, you know? And I tell you, it's so beautiful. I love it. I love the outdoors. It's so beautiful. And if you ever come to Florida, when it says it's 200 miles from one spot to another, it's only 200 miles because it's like this the whole way, okay?
And flat.
Yeah, you don't go like this at all. You just go like that, okay? I mean, you do go on curves. The exit ramps have curves on them, okay? I'm serious, okay? But it's beautiful. I mean, even in the flat land, when we go down to the areas, it's beautiful. But that's not where I find God. Now, I can enjoy what God has made, but this is where I find God. This is where I find God. All right? And so it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'm seeking him. I'm waiting because I'm seeking him. I'm waiting to see what he's going to do. I'm not waiting to see if he's going to do something. I'm waiting to see what he is going to do. And that's good courage. That's hope. Because he will do something. Now, honestly, he doesn't do everything I want him to do, but he does everything I need him to do.
Amen.
He does everything that I need done.
Yes, sir.
And if I just wait on him, it's perfect. When I push and I try to be manipulative, it never works out. Okay? So I need to be of good courage so I can have a strong heart to trust him more. He provides that strength because I wait with the right kind of attitude. In Psalm 33, and just, you know, in another verse that you all are probably familiar with, in Isaiah 40:31, about providing strength, it says, they that waited upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We understand that God always provides exactly what we need when we wait on him.
Yes.
In Psalm 33, I went too far there. Psalm 33, starting verse 20, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
Yes, sir.
For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Hey, when we wait for the Lord, he provides, he assists what we need, and gives protection.
Amen.
Now, remember, God is not the one who stands up there with strings and he's a puppeteer. That's not God. God wants to give us what we need, but we must be willing to seek him and do what he wants. I've told before, you know, I had a desire growing up. Okay, I did not get saved until I was about 22 years old. So growing up in school, I got locked into wanting to be a draftsman. So in 10th grade, I took the courses. 11th grade, 12th grade. By the time I got out of high school, I'd spent 900 hours in one class. That's basically it means going one full school year all day long in one class. It's like a trade school. We had a good vo-tech school at our high school. 9 days after I graduated, 11 days after I graduated, I got a job doing drafting. And I did that for 7 years. I did it for 4 years after I got out of high school. Went to Bible college. Did it for 3 years while I was in Bible college. And that's what I wanted to do because that's what I'd done. And I remember in my last year of Bible college, I couldn't get a drafting job. And God allowed me to get a job at a sign shop, provided my needs. And when I went to that sign shop, I realized, you know what? I don't want to do drafting anymore. God, whatever you want, I'll do that. Whatever you want, I'll do that. And I'll tell you, that drafting, that sign shop job lasted all the way. And when he knew I was leaving to go to Florida to serve in a church, he just let me work till the very end, knew I was leaving. And when I left, he even gave me a couple hundred dollars to hit the road with that he didn't have to do. You know, God provides if we just do what he wants us to do.
Yes.
It says, our soul with the Lord, he is our help and our shield. He assists us in whatever we need. He protects us.
Yes, sir.
The protection God gives. I mean, listen, I worked with him, okay? I know God protects, okay? All right? Oh, man. Let's preach, not talk, okay? God, I mean, we've remodeled a lot down there before Josh even came down there, before I ever knew him. We remodeled a lot, and I was working, and I pulled a chop saw down, cut a piece of chair rail like that, you know, and reached in there to grab it. It was before they had the ones that would stop, it freewheeled, and I reached my hand to grab it, and it caught my finger, man, just shoo, right there. It didn't cut it off. I was thankful for it, but I looked down and went, ooh, that one's going to take stitches, you know? So I went and got stitches that day. It was a Wednesday. And it's amazing how that God always provides what we need. He protected my finger from getting cut off. Okay, I mean, because it went across this finger and just past my ring, because it had caught my ring and it pulled my whole hand in there. And God protected. And not only that, he provided what I needed, because two guys from the church, I didn't know they were going to come there that day. They came there to help me that day. Never told me they were going to show up. And they showed up that day. And, you know, I went and got stitches, came back to the church, and they were there. And we all three were together and got that job done before Wednesday night. And when people came to church, the foyer was done. The remodeling was done. God did that, not me. God provided. It says right here, our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. God does that for us. And we've got to recognize when God does that for us, it's him. It's not me. I didn't praise those men for coming up. I thank God for those men. See, I didn't say, I'm glad I pulled my hand out quick. It wasn't that I mean I pulled my hand out quick. God just kept that blade from going down to the bone. It was God that protected. See, we've got to recognize it is God who does it. It's not us. It's not. I'm so lucky that happened. It's not luck. It's hope and having good heart, a good being encouraged and knowing God's going to do this. I'm waiting on him to do something. So the Bible says that when we wait for him, he is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we had hoped in thee. You know, I don't ever want to trust in money. And it took me a long time to get to that point, to be honest with you, okay? You know, growing up, I we had a large family, and we always had what we needed. We never had any extra. I mean, I never went hungry. I never had, you know, I didn't have holes in the bottom of my shoes. You know, we always had everything we needed. I didn't have a want. But we never had luxuries. Okay, that's bottom line. When my dad got that microwave, I'm telling you what, we'd sit there and boil water in a cup just to see it boil. It was so amazing. Okay, it was amazing. It didn't even have a popcorn button. Okay, none of them had it back then. Okay, but you know, just some of the things that we, you know, growing up, we didn't experience all the luxuries other people had. And as a young Christian, I got saved, like I said, when I was early 20s. And even as I was in the ministry, I focused on money too much because I thought money was what provided what you needed. It took me a long time to realize it wasn't the money that provided it. It was God that provided it. Whether it was through money or whether it's through the item or whether it's through the ability to get another job to earn the money to buy the item.
Yes, sir.
God provided that. And until I got a hold of that, it was not very pleasant to have to deal with money, to be honest with you. Because I was always like, man, I never have enough. Why? Because I wasn't trusting God to provide. I was trusting me to provide. I can never provide what I need. I can only give me what I want. I can't give me what I need.
That's right.
God always gives me what I need. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll provide all these things unto you, you know? I seek him, and he gives me what I need.
Amen.
And I wait on him. He always gives me better than I need.
Amen.
See, I can give me what I want, but he always gives me what I need. And he always gives so much better, okay? Always so much better. So I wait on him, and he's my help and my shield. He assists, he protects. In Psalm 37, I think I probably got a little ahead of myself there, but in Psalm 37, verse number 9, it says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And that's that God provides everything that we need. If I inherit the earth, how much belongs to me? Everything, okay? Everything does. I don't have to hoard anything. You understand that? Because it's all mine anyways.
Amen.
See, that's another problem that we deal with sometimes when we don't trust God. We got to make sure we got this here and that there and that there and that there and that there. And 10 years later, we're like, why'd I have that there? Because we didn't trust God. But if we trust God, God always puts it right there, exactly what we need. We don't have to worry about it. This lady in our church, she wanted me to take care of her yard. And I don't mind working. My father taught me to work. I don't mind working. But time is very valuable. And I told her, I said, you know, I don't mind helping you. And I said, I'm willing to help you out, and I'll try to help you out there. She goes, well, here's what I want to do. I want you to go buy a lawnmower and a weed eater, and you keep the lawnmower and weed eater, and you can come cut my grass and use it as much as you want. I said, really? So that's pretty neat. Because I've been wanting a new lawnmower, okay? But the most amazing thing about it was the fact that she said, I said, how much you want me to spend? And she told me, and it was exactly what I needed to get the lawnmower I wanted. That's amazing. Now, I don't have a big yard, okay? It's my yard is probably about half this, about that big right there. That's it, okay? Down there, we got plenty of open sky, but not a lot of open land where I live at. Okay, now, I mean, and I do live in Miami, okay? But I live closer to the Homestead Motorsport Speedway, you know, and that's out in the middle of nowhere, okay? And so there's plenty of open land, just not around my house, all right? And I was able to, she gave me the money to get that, and I went and got that, and I've used it for over a year now, and God's always provided. I mean, I'd waited. My wife said, why don't you just go buy, you know? I said, I don't want to do that. I really don't need it. I got this old electric lawnmower here. I'll just keep on using it. Man, I got to get a battery-operated one. I like that because I don't like messing with gasoline, to be honest with you. Okay, that's the bottom line. And so, man, I got that. Perfect for her yard. Works on my yard great. Man, it's amazing what God does because I'm going to inherit the earth. It's all mine. If I wait on him. If I wait on him. See, so whenever that Harley arrives in the driveway, I know he sent it, okay? Because I'll wait on him, okay? All right. So it's all mine. I just got to wait on him. He provides. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Just be patient. Just be patient. Wait on him. He'll provide exactly what you need. I live in a 5-bedroom, 3-bath, 2-story house with a 2-car garage, okay? Our church provides a house for me. Rent's crazy down there. This house rents for a little bit under $2,000 a month, and I've never had a desire to buy a house or own a house in that context because I waited for God to move me for 30 years. I went to Miami to work 2 years and be a missionary, but God never moved me. He kept me there. And if you ever come to Miami, there, it's a mission field, okay? There are people from dozens of countries, literally probably 36 countries live in Miami, okay? So it's a great opportunity. But you know where I started out in? I started out in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house on the corner. I went to a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house in on the church property. I went to a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house off the church property, and then I went to this house. I never expected to have a large house like that. But you know what I kept on asking God for? I said, God, give me a place where I can have people stay with me, please. And you know what? I waited on him, and he provided exactly what I needed. You stayed at my house when you came down there to Miami for the wedding. I've had missionaries stay there. I've had tour groups stay there. God provided exactly what I wanted when I waited on him. When I waited on him. Because I know that to get that kind of home a little bit away from where I live at is almost $3,000 a month. Because, like I said, rent's crazy in Miami. Okay? But God provided what I needed, where I needed, and it's a great blessing because I wait on him. When I push it, it doesn't work. But when I went on him, he always meets the need. So he can meet the need in the tangible, the material world, he meets the needs. He gives me a strong heart for faith. That's necessary. I seek him and he gives me guidance and direction. When I wait on him, he shows me the path to go. But he also provides physical, tangible things to us. This is a great one in Psalm 39. Turn over there to Psalm 39. In Psalm 39, in verse 7, it says, And now, Lord, why I wait, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. And then over in Psalm 130, in verse number 6, I'm going to read 2 verses here. It says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Hope is such a wonderful thing.
Amen.
The most practical example I can give you of hope was a young lady in our church who had aspirations of going to college and having a career and everything like that. And she made an error in judgment and snuck out of the house one night with her boyfriend. And she ended up getting pregnant and had to get married and couldn't go to college. Okay. And he was not a faithful guy. She had multiple children with him, but he was not a very faithful man to her. And everybody recommended her divorcing him. And I was her high school teacher and coach. And she came to me one time and said, you know, so-and-so tells me to get a divorce. And so-and-so tells me, my parents tell me to divorce him. I says, but I have hope. That's exactly what she said. I have hope. I have hope that he will change. Why'd she stay married to him? She had hope. Now, she didn't have hope that he would change. She actually talked about how, you know, God can change him because that's where her hope was in. But that's real hope. You'll deal with the bad circumstances because there's hope.
Right.
There's hope. You know, they say the suicide rate is up because of COVID-19. Why is it? Because people have no hope. They lose hope. What are they hoping in? They're hoping in a cure and it doesn't come. They're hoping in their job being restored and it doesn't come. They're not hoping in the Lord.
That's right.
Your hope cannot be in things on this earth because it all goes away. My hope is not in that house. It isn't, okay? I mean, just 3 weeks ago, I'm coming down the stairs with a load of laundry, and it's an evening time, and the lights are out because, you know, I go to bed early. I'm a senior citizen now, okay? And so I'm coming down to the landing, and I go to step at the landing, and it ain't there because I'm one step high, and I boom, man, I tumble down and nail the wall. I'm so thankful that wall was right there because my head stopped me from going any further, okay? And so it was really nice. Except I hyperextended my knee and twisted my other knee. And so, man, I'm sitting on set. My wife's coming around. What's going on? What's going on? I said, give me a towel quick. So, man, my head's bloody, and I didn't split it. Just scraped it real. Rug burn on a wall is worse than rug burn on a rug, be honest with you, okay? And so I'm hurting. You know what? That house didn't treat me very good, did it? You know, but God healed me. I'm walking around good now. My hope is not in that house, okay? My hope is not in that house. My hope is in the Lord. I'll tell you, when I hurt myself and I looked at them stairs, I'm like, oh man, I gotta go up them stairs again. Well, we could go one step at a time. Yep. Up with the good, down with the bad. Up with the good, down. I dealt with that. Why? Because my hope is not in a house. It's not in tangible things. My hope is in the Lord. And that hope far goes beyond whether I'm in cold weather or not. Okay? I mean, I know the sun shines every day. Okay? It's just way far south right now. And that's where I'm heading. Okay? We were driving. It was 2:30 afternoon. My mother-in-law goes, "What time is it?" I said, "It's 2:30. She goes, "Man, you sure it's not 6 o'clock yet?" Because that sun's way far away from here. But my hope is not even in the sun. My hope is in the Son of God. My hope is in God because that's where it really is, okay? So I understand that God provides everything for me, but my hope cannot be in those things. It has to be in the God that provided those things, all right? In Psalm 40 in verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord and inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know, when we wait on God, he listens better. Wait on God, he listens better. See, because when I rush to fix this and I rush to fix that and I rush to fix that, I'm not waiting on God. God's not hearing me. You know why? Because I'm not talking to him. But I wait on God, then I can think about him more.
Yes, sir.
And then I talk to him and he hears what I say to him. I think I came in here, I was overwhelmed with just the emotion of being home, basically, you know? I mean, and you know, my son-in-law is here, my daughter's here. My wife is here. My friend is here. His wife is here. You know, I don't know Wally well, but I've heard enough about you that I know you a little bit. And Josh's grandpa. And, you know, I mean, it's just there's family here. And I recognize some faces from a couple years ago when I came up here. It was great. It's great to be here. Yeah. But, you know, my hope can't be in you either. It's got to be in God. It's got to be in God. And as I sat back there enjoying this, God spoke to me and said, "Remember, I'm here for you." You know, he just gave me that peace that, you know what, I'm where I need to be at. Yeah. But you know what, I'm going to head back to Miami, and God's going to give me peace there. On the way down, we're going to stop and visit some friends in North Carolina and see where they're serving God. You know, God gives us what we need.
Yes, sir.
If we wait on him. And sometimes we just got to cry out to him and thank him or ask him or praise him, whatever we need to do. When we cry, and understand this cry is not whining. Okay, we're not whining to him. We're crying out to him. It might be a cry of praise. It might be a cry of need. Whatever it is, he hears us when we're waiting on him. And we're not quite patient. You know, we're not made to be patient people. We have flesh. Our flesh has desires. And one of the greatest desires is, I want it now. And we've got to wait. We've got to slow down and wait on God. He hears us. It also says that in Micah. In Psalm 123. Part of verse 1 it says, "Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud." God provides the mercy. God, and understand, mercy doesn't mean we did anything wrong. Now mercy means that we're not being punished, okay? But mercy in here, we're looking at the other people doing wrong, and God is still merciful to us.
Yes, sir.
It is hard to deal watching other people do wrong. Sometimes you just want to grab by the neck and, you know, and God is merciful to us and make sure we don't kill him and we don't end up in jail, right? That's mercy. But also understand that God is merciful to us to help us deal with that circumstance. See, that's what we're all in any portion of life, there's always a circumstance. But when we wait on God in that circumstance, that's when we see him working. Why? We're staying where everyone is until something else happens. A period of anticipation of, "God, I know you've got this. Let me trust you in this. And his mercy is poured out to us to where, you know what? I can deal with this. You're a merciful God. You've given me the ability to deal with this. And he provides that for us. Amen. Talked about how he provides salvation, deliverance, the strength. He assists us, protects us. He gives us tangible things. He provides the hope for us. He hears us and he gives us mercy. And over in Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14, verse 22, it says, "Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all things." All these things. Listen, I mentioned stuff in the Bible that the Bible reveals to us, but understand it's all his. And when we wait on him, he has it all. Now, it is hard to wait. It's really hard to wait. And there's verses in the New Testament that give us a simple thing. I'm not going to read them all. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you don't need to turn there. But the Bible talks about loving God, letting his spirit lead us, okay? And leaning on Christ's understanding.
Yes, sir.
And you know what that points us back to? His word.
That's right.
Points us right back to his word. And that's where we wait on God. We wait in his word. Now, yes. Understand, you got to go to work, right? You got to go to work sometime, right? And you ladies, if you don't go to work, you got work to do at home. Mm-hmm. You can't sit there and just, you know, bury your face in the Bible and say, "I'm waiting on God." Don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, all right? But that's where Psalm 1 comes in, Psalm 1, 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So I spend my time reading God's word in my regular schedule, and then as I go out throughout my day, I'm thinking about God. I'm waiting on him because God's given me a verse to think about. He's given me a truth to recognize. He's given me encouragement in his word, and as I go throughout my day, there's that circumstance. Yeah, but God, you got this. And there's that circumstance. Yeah, but God, you got this. I'm waiting on you. I'm not going to push it. He's always met the need.
Yes, sir.
And we need to trust him more. I'm so thankful. You don't know, man. I'm so thankful to be able to be here today. And you know, we love the time with our kids in Ohio and love the time with Josh and Ruth Ann here. But I'll tell you, I want to come see you. The love he's shown to me as a friend has been so great. And it's God that provided it. He says that, you know, he prayed for Josh's wife and his wife's parents for all these years. I'm so thankful for that. I did not pray specifically for him, but I always prayed. I said, "God, I want my kids to do your will." That was my goal. My daughter wanted to be a nurse for a while, and said, "No, that's not what God wants me to do." When she wanted to be a nurse, I let her do whatever she wanted to do that. And they said, "No, I don't want to be a nurse. I believe this is what God wants me to do." And I'll tell you, I waited on God to direct my children. I just prayed for them and said, "God, keep them going the right direction." And God brought me here tonight. I believe it's because I waited on him.
Yes, sir.
I mean, my desire was to come visit, okay? And I thought I'd go to Ohio and I had to jet back to Miami. And when I called my pastor, I said, "Listen, this is what I want to do." And I told him the path I was taking. He said, "Hey, go for it. It's no problem. We got it covered here." And God provided. God provided miraculously. And, you know, he asked me to preach on Monday, I think it was. On Monday, he said, "Preach." I said, "I won't be here Wednesday. I'm going to be down in North Carolina." And the circumstance changed, and God let me be here. And it's just such a blessing to be here. You know? But as we wait on God, God meets the need. God provides in such a miraculous way, and I'm so thankful for it. And he brought me here, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that he allowed me to share some truth from you, or share some truth with you from his word. I pray you take this and use it in your life as you wait on God in anticipation that something's going to happen, that he's going to make it happen. It's not you that's going to make it happen. He is going to make it happen because you're trusting him in every circumstance of life. Brother Bush.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder, how guilty are we of not waiting? We get impatient with God. And then we become our own God. I wonder.